the resurrected Christ, who died for us but rose again the third day according to the Scripture, gives us the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, so that we can have strength, so we can be guided, we can be directed, and we can live for Him. Because of the resurrection of Christ, we can live in victory. And so this morning, I want to touch on how we as believers live the resurrected life. If you will, join me in Colossians 3, verses 1 through 11. It's going to give us some keys on how we live that resurrected life. For it is a struggle, indeed it is. The temptations of this world, the struggles, the trials and tribulations come our way in this life. But once again, you can have victory. Colossians chapter 3 points to how we live the resurrected life. In Colossians 3, as we pick up in verse 1, it goes on to say, "If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth: fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. And because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all these things: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge according to the image of Him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all." So this morning I'd like to touch on that passage and touch on the lessons that we learn from looking at a passage such as this about living the resurrected life. First of all, notice that in the first four verses of that passage, there's an emphasis on the union with Christ that a believer in Christ has. Verse 1 specifically, as you might recall, emphasizes a need for our heart to be centered on what matters to Christ. This is our attitudes, the attitudes that we have. This is our ambitions. This is our allegiance, the allegiance that we have. What has our allegiance? I'm reminded of a song written and sung in 1994. That jumped out at me because that was a year I graduated high school. But Ray Bolts wrote and sung a song called "I Pledge Allegiance to the Lamb." Listen to the powerful lyrics of this wonderful song. It goes on to say, "I pledge allegiance to the Lamb with all my strength, with all I am. I will seek to honor His commands. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. I have heard how Christians long ago were brought before a tyrant's throne, and they were told that he would spare their lives if they would renounce the name of Christ. But one by one they chose to die. The Son of God they would not deny. Like a great angelic choir sings, I can almost hear their voices ring. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb with all my strength, with all I am. I will seek to honor His commands. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. Now the years have come and the years have gone, and the cause of Jesus still goes on. Now our time has come to count the cost, to reject this world, to embrace the cross. And one by one let us live our lives for the One who died to give us life. Till the trumpet sounds on that final day, let us proudly stand and boldly say, I pledge allegiance to the Lamb with all my strength, with all I am. I will seek to honor His commands. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb." To the Lamb of God, who bore my pain, who took my place, who wore my shame, I will seek to honor His commands. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. With all my strength, with all I am, I will seek to honor His commands. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. With all my strength, with all I am, I pledge allegiance. I pledge allegiance with all my strength, with all I am. I will seek to honor His commands. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. So when we seek the things that are above, we're going to have the mindset of Christ. And I believe that those ambitions, those attitudes, those allegiances that we have just addressed this morning, it's going to align with the Lord. We're going to have the mindset of Christ when we put Him first, when we seek the things of the Lord and seek the things that are above. Another powerful song that is written by Helen H. Lemmel in 1992, it was called "Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus." Anybody remember that song? "Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus." The refrain goes on to say, "Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace." The key is that our eyes are fixed on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. When we do that, the things of this world become less and less important. They become dim. Reminded in Scripture that we're called not to love the world, neither the things that are in the world. If anybody loves those things, the love of the Father is not in them. So once again, we seek the things of the above. It's going to affect our mindset. It's going to affect our affections. What do we care about? And I believe that when we have the mindset of Christ, we'll have the affections of what matters to Him. The affections will be toward Him. And the things above, I believe that we're going to look toward Him and reflect upon our citizenship in heaven and value those things. And so we can live with Christ. So therefore, we now live for Christ. Philippians 3:20 talks about this truth. It goes on to say in Philippians 3:20 rather, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." That's our anticipation as followers of Jesus Christ. We look forward to the day when we will be with Him. But until we are physically present with Him, by His strength, by His might, we live for Him. Philippians teaches us in 4:13, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Once again, we can have victory when we seek those things which are above. It affects our mindset. It sets the affections, what we care about, what we love, what we prefer. And then I believe that we will naturally abandon the sinful lifestyles. So as we seek the things above, verse 5 through 9 goes on to talk about renouncing that sinful lifestyle that was referenced, putting to death immorality, putting to death impurity, putting to death idolatry. Romans 8, which was referenced a couple times already in our service earlier, but also just in the play as well, goes on to say in Romans 8, verse 13, "For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God." It's a beautiful thing to be a child of the Most High God. "Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God." And He's calling us to walk in obedience to the Father whom we serve, to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so our love is so great. If you love Him, we can therefore keep His commandments. We abandon our sinful lifestyle because He is more important, and we live for Him because we love Him. And so as that passage concludes, we will therefore acknowledge the Savior whom we serve. In verse 10 through 11, it goes on to talk about, as followers of Jesus Christ, we are renewed. We become more like the image of the One who created us, who made us a new creation, referenced by that play. So we acknowledge that Christ is Savior. He transcends all. He transcends barriers. He transcends cultures, races, and nation. It's all about Christ. We had a glimpse of what it will look like in heaven someday in Revelation. Several passages, but I want to touch on one specific one, Revelation chapter 5, verse 13. Listen to this and what it says. It says, "And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be to Him who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb forever and ever." My dear friends, we are going to sing the praises of Almighty God forever and ever. And to touch on the power of that, we'll get a glimpse of what that looks like in just a moment as the actors are going to come back on the stage and listen to the words of the song that they are going to sing, which references the hymn of heaven. Once again, listen to these words as we invite the actors.
How I long to breathe the air of heaven, where pain is gone and mercy fills the streets, to look upon the one who bled to save us and walk with him through all eternity. There will be a day when all will bow before Him. There will be a day when death will be no more, standing face to face with He who died and rose again. Holy, holy is the Lord. Every prayer we prayed with desperation, the songs of faith we sang through doubt and fear, in the end, we'll see that it was worth it when He returns and wipes away our tears. There will be a day when all will bow before Him. There will be a day when death will be no more, standing face to face with He who died and rose again. Holy, holy is the Lord. Holy, holy is the Lord.
I think you got a taste of heaven. That is what we'll be singing forever and ever. Scripture says, holy, holy, holy is God.